We are activating your unique self-discovery one show at a time. The Orchard of Wisdom Self-Discovery Podcast are at your fingertips, just waiting to inspire and invite you in discovering just how awesome you really are and how to navigate through life in joy, enrichment, personal abundance, in mind, body, spirit, heart, and soul. All the people we bring you are here to serve you on your journey of life. Do enjoy our next show. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Building Your Business right here on selfdiscoverymedia.com. I'm your host, Sarah Troy. My wonderful guest is Jeffrey Deckman, and we're going to be talking about business, but how spreading the message of self-belief, self-respect, and self-love is the most powerful passion you can have in any of your businesses. He's an entrepreneur for 40 years, a stage 4 cancer survivor, and a student of consciousness. He speaks to many topics, but if he had to pick a common theme that would run through his life, it would have been the devotion of his career would be to the one of perseverance under pressure and often against immense odds. He thinks that spreading the message of self-belief and self-respect and self-love is the most powerful passion. A poor student from a low-income family who often moved and never went to college, but somehow accomplished more than ever thought possible. His story is one of, if I can do it, you can do it, and love yourself enough to try. That is a real key point, folks. He's a nationally recognized thought leader and award-winning author on the next evolution of leadership, conscious leadership. He recently published a book, Developing Your Conscious Leadership Mindset for the 21st Century, and he won a total of 4 national international Stevie Awards and is Amazon's bestseller, occupational and organizational psychology category. He also won the 2021 International Business Awards Bronze Medal for the Innovator of the Year. His background is one of serial entrepreneur, and he has bootstrapped $2 million companies, several nonprofits, multiple political organizations. And since 2003, he's been a leader in organization and performance consultant and leadership coach. Jeffrey is a member of the Forbes Coach Council and regularly publishes on Forbes.com. He's also at the stage cancer survivor and a student of spiritual teachings and a Reiki master. I absolutely love it when people understand that in order to do good business in the world, that you have to come from a place of heart and spirit. Before people buy anything from you, they want to buy you. And if they don't feel that you're truly authentic, that you don't really care, that you're just chasing the dollar, why would they want to do business with you? That authenticity is a spiritual experience of coming from the heart and doing what you want to do in business authentically, isn't it, Jeffrey? Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Sarah. I appreciate the work you do and the work you promote. This is a really important message. Leadership, I think is a, if you want to take a position in leadership, I think it's really important that you connect with the importance and the sacredness of that role that you're looking to undertake, because you're really looking to impact people's lives, maybe even change the direction of them. And, it's serious business.
Yes.
If you're, we have far too many narcissistic leaders.
Power, yes, control. And a poster child of one as a president. Yes.
it's really sad. And it's gotten us to a place that is no longer sustainable.
Right.
We really need a shift in consciousness. And it's happening, but it takes people like you and people like myself to be able to, not only go in that direction, but to create a pathway and help people to follow along their way as they develop their own style of conscious leadership and engaging people.
I think what people need to understand, it's not necessarily the doing, it's the being. Mm-hmm. When you have stepped into that, let's not call it a spiritual platform, let's just call it a higher conscious essence. When you know that there's just more than you, as a human being. It's the being. We're all made out of particles of the universe. We're all made in God-like image. We are all made of the same substance. It's how we ignite the energy of that substance, the essence of who we are and our intention, and that intention to be of service to others for the benefit of their lives or the planet's life. It's that intention. It has to come from that soul heart beingness, doesn't it?
You know, you've brought this to a high level very quickly. You know, we just got on the elevator and went to like the
7th floor. Let's not fuss around. Let's get to the point.
I like it. You know, many years ago, I was at the World Trade Center, and I took the elevator up to the top. They had a restaurant up there called Windows of the World. It's absolutely beautiful. But the thing that amazed me the most was the elevator ride up. It was so fast. Your ears pop twice on the way up. And I think the guy who ran the elevator said it went like 70 miles an hour or something. And it was so quick. But that's sort of where this conversation is.
Let's go see the view.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times I hesitate about speaking about how I view things just because I don't want to give people stretch marks, you know, or make people think like, how far out is this guy? But
let's say that this is for the people that are already on a certain level. You know, not entry level, you know, in that middle road, I am practicing it. I am being it. But anything that can get me up to that next level, you know, I'm wanting to hear, I'm wanting to learn because, you know, there's a lot of entry level out there into this world. But I think, you know, right now we really actually do need to put the foot to the pedal. We need to kind of do some fast tracking. We're seeing so much, again, division in the world, me against them. Them against me, they're different from me, so therefore I can't do business with them because of this. And we've also seen far too many sharks in business, people that are just out for their ego or the bottom line. And you know, what we realize is that the true e-commerce is the people and is the earth's resources. And if we nurture and respect that, that's where the profit comes from. And I think the quicker that people can get up to that understanding, the better.
I agree. You know, my journey was one of, I would say, relative unconsciousness to spirituality, to consciousness. And so, you know, I've had a natural interest in studying these things. I remember when I was a senior in high school, I took a class and it was called The History of the Far East. And I wasn't much of a student, but I looked at that. I didn't even read the description. I just saw it. And I said, I'm going to take that class because I figured it was about Genghis Khan and the, you know, the Mongols and war and battle and stuff. But what it was a comparative religion class. So for a year as a high school senior, we were studying Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, Jainism, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, et cetera, et cetera. And it just really opened my eyes. And we would spend about 4 or 6 weeks on each particular religion. And then the last couple of weeks, what we did was we just looked to say, what were the common denominators, et cetera. And what I walked away, and that was, I avoided religion as a young man. You know, I didn't go to church or Sunday school. You know, I'd rather be playing baseball. So my whole mindset about religion was a flat out no. But here I am stuck in this class. And I absolutely loved it. And what it taught me was that basically we're all saying the same thing. The great spiritual teachers. We're all saying the same thing. And then people got involved after those teachers passed on. People with a lower level of consciousness got involved and they created something. The next generation had a slightly lower. Next thing you know, in the human consciousness, building these organizations with dogmas and threats, et cetera. And we've really lost our way. But if we can go back to the original teachings, and I studied Taoism for many years. I'm a huge fan of the Native American cultures. The Hopi Indians had just amazing spirituality. And so what I kept seeing is this whole concept of oneness, the truth of oneness. And I'm not saying I'm right, but just my personal view is that I am an expression of consciousness.
Right.
My individuality is consciousness. It's a version of consciousness expressing itself.
Mm-hmm.
And as I grow, consciousness grows.
Exactly.
And, I have an obligation to grow because mm-hmm. the growth
that's what you're here for.
that's what I'm here for. And yes. The growth of consciousness always improves things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's taken me many years to get a sense for I'm here not to necessarily do something, but to be something in mm-hmm. the world.
Yeah.
What I do has to reflect the purpose of my being. And, and as a result, I brought a lot more peace into my life. I still see the insanity that goes on. And,
and
in fact, that bothers me more now than it used to.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the price we pay for developing our consciousness, is we can see the full-heartedness and the damage and the destruction that just the basic human consciousness does.
Yes.
If it's allowed to run things. You know, human consciousness is a beautiful servant. It's a horrible master.
Oh, God, you're so true. I love that. Oh, I love that. Absolutely true. Because the human consciousness is working from a mechanical mind. And it's working in fear and flight. And it's working in constant self-protection. But if you don't have an open heart, the soul can't speak to you. The spirit can't speak to you. And how do we know what to know? We're just going on data or stuff that we've picked up along the way. And this is what we're seeing so much evidence of right now, of humanism and not the human spirit. And when the spirit is ignited with the human body, it is a beautiful synergy and a beautiful experience. And you understand why you have merged together in this lifetime to have this experience. But so many people kind of say, oh, I'm religious, I go to church. But they're not from the heart and soul. They're mm-hmm. doing it from conditioning. They're doing it out of fear. And, mm-hmm. God is love. And I remember doing a show with somebody who was a pastor, and I was saying that God is love. He doesn't condemn. He doesn't hate. We do that very well for ourselves. Right? He doesn't do that. Right? He's here to hold us accountable. But he's there always in love, with it, God, source, universe, whatever you wish to call it. And he disagreed. And I found that quite fascinating that he would disagree in this. It's up to us as individuals to find us self-love. And that I kind of do an analogy to, what is your instrument? Because that's your gift in life. Learn how to play that instrument so beautifully that you can now join an orchestra and each and individual strength come together in harmony to create a symphony that will resonate out as invitation to others. But we are meant to be a part of the collective. This is not one like the Borg where you become mindless. This is becoming part of the community, part of the collective, in your own individual spiritual strength.
Mm-hmm.
To raise that frequency, raise that vibration up to the higher level where things truly do grow, where creativity really grows, where that love shows us other dimensional worlds of living that is literally an out-of-body experience. That we can't have if we decide to live in the 3D lower vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And it is our journey, each and every one of us in this lifetime, to understand it's up to us how we rise up. Now, I don't know if your cancer came as your redirect, or was your cancer a release of the human concept within you?
I think perhaps both. When I had the cancer experience, I had been on a pretty strong spiritual path for about 17 years or so. So when it showed up, I initially thought, do I want any traditional treatment at all? So mm-hmm. I took couple of months to really study the holistic aspect of things. Long story short, I was in Providence, Rhode Island at the time. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee now. But I was right close to Dana-Farber, which is one of the best cancer. So what I did was I did a combination of traditional through Dana-Farber chemo and radiation. And I also worked with a woman who was an integrative oncologist and a Cherokee medicine woman. And the combination of those two modalities really made my experience of going through that was neck cancer. They say that the treatment for neck cancer is one of the most painful there is outside of like complete hospitalization. So because of the treatments and the things I was doing, I didn't have as horrible of an experience as well, a lot of other. But when you have stage four cancer, you end up having some really serious conversations with yourself.
Yes. And that was the point. I mean, it's throat. It's neck, throat. And what does that mean? You're trapped in your words. So the words aren't the truth. So that serious conversation you had with yourself is that I know you've taken this path, but are you truly living this truth?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, one of the things, and the oncologist, integrative oncologist I worked with, her name is Dr. Jody Noe. And one of the things she told me early on, she said, Jeff, you have to learn to love the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, don't go to war with it. Don't fight with it, because anything other than love in your system is just another form of cancer. And I thought, oh my gosh, how am I going to do that? What is that? But, you know, she is who she is. So I thought about it for a couple of days. And finally, I realized that cancer was visiting me as a teacher.
Yes.
And
a hard lesson.
a very hard lesson. And, you know, it also certainly had the opportunity to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognized it as that. But what I really did was I looked and I thought, if it's here to be a teacher, and I thought that I'm a reformed engineer.
I like that.
I like to understand the design. And I started thinking about many things, but one of them was, what is the primary force of the universe? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's either creation or destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, if it was destruction, the universe never would have started.
Exactly. Or lost it.
So creation and then destruction. So, okay, creation is the more powerful of the two then. And what is creation? Creation is love.
Mm-hmm.
Because in order to create and grow, et cetera, you have to be feeding it. You have to be nurturing it. Those are expressions of love. So I looked at that and I said, okay, so the fundamental energy in the universe is one of love and life.
Mm-hmm.
So I am going to do everything I can to tap into that energy field and use that as part of my healing. Because it's everywhere. It's in every blade of grass. It's in every leaf. It's in every dragonfly. It mm-hmm. is everything. It's the thing that connects all of us. I am just another life form with a unique type of consciousness that is able to experience itself both in a physical space, but then understand that there's something more to that.
Yeah.
And having the ability to understand the difference between the ego mind and my higher self was critical. I call it difference between my outer ego and my inner elder.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My inner elder. We all have that.
We do.
Elder.
The wisdom. Yes.
And it doesn't argue with the ego. It's wide enough not to argue with a knucklehead.
Yes. So there's no arguing with a knucklehead, you know. Again, no. It's still like that narcissist. I'm right, you know, right. I'm never wrong. So yeah, there's no point.
There's a saying about why you should never argue with an idiot is because they will wear you down to their level, then beat you with experience, right?
Yes.
So yeah, and I think that Through that process, plus some of the consciousness work I've done, I was able to discern the difference between my ego voice and my inner mind. And once I was able to get that distinction, then I can't always control my ego thinking and my human consciousness, but at least I recognize when it's running the show.
Right.
And in that moment, I get to make a choice.
Yeah.
You know, once I bring my awareness that I have the inner elder into play, once that comes out of my blind spot, I'm now conscious that it's there. So then once I'm conscious of it, I can make conscious decisions on which way I'm going to act, with my ego or with my elder. The biggest thing was to have that breakthrough where I realized I wasn't my ego. I wasn't my thoughts. I wasn't my actions. I'm responsible for them. But who I am is something much, much higher. And my job is to integrate the physical with the spirituality. And much like an Olympic equestrian, they do a beautiful dance. You have the rider and the horse. And the horse is this powerful thing. But they do the dance because the horse has learned to respond to the rider.
They've become one. They become one. Yeah, they're their own little orchestra there. Yeah, you know, wisdom can come to us at any time. It's within us, it channeled, you know, it is, you know, knowing what you need to know when you need to know it. You know, that wisdom cannot come through a closed heart. The heart has to be open. But, you know, since childhood, I was able to tell people a message that they needed to know when they needed to know it. And they go, well, how do you know that? I don't know. Can you repeat it? No. You know, it was channeling that message way beyond my years. But if that's, I've been able to see some order in the chaos of people. And sometimes we cannot see things. We're in the midst of chaos, in that hurricane. We don't know how to get out. You know, go to the center eye, then you'll drop down, you know, get out of the swirl. And it, sometimes you need that someone just to point out, well, do you realize you're in chaos? And sometimes it's as simple as taking a few breaths and centering yourself, becoming at one with yourself and shutting the rest of the world out. And that's hard for people to do. It's very, very hard for people to take the journey of self-love because they'll always find an excuse because they're going by the perception of others on the outside. Well, you're not this. Well, you're not that. Who do you think you are? And if we're going to listen to those exterior voices, whether it's in our own personal life or business life, which are very much intertwined, then that's going to affect what we believe on the inside. However, if we come from the wisdom from the inside, that I am love. I am the wisdom when I need to know it. I am the truth. I am the peace. Then you see what it is you need to see, and you become the person that you need to become, and the essence of who you are precedes you. Doesn't mean everyone's going to get you. It doesn't mean everyone is going to understand you, but those that are resonating somewhere within that vicinity is immediately going to connect with you because you're on that same frequency. Now the communication can really begin.
And, you know, the challenge is how do we get out of, you know, we come into this world as just being totally open spiritual beings. Then we get socialized. We start shutting down. We forget what we are and we start responding and we really connect to the physicality of our. We learn at some point our bodies can die and we think that means we die.
Right. No. Just borrowed vessel.
And everything that we're taught around learning is in linear academic learning. This plus this equals that.
So the and way restrictive.
You know, and restrictive. And what I've found on my journey is that my ability to increase my level of consciousness is a non-linear, unpredictable experience. That instead of going in and studying, reading, studying, exposing yourself material absolutely helps. It loosens the ground. What I've had to do is say, okay, I loosen the ground. And it's almost like I'm opening an aperture. that opens me to a excuse me, to a higher level of consciousness. And in that consciousness, I become in a I'm in a place where consciousness can be dropped down into me because my aperture is more open.
Right.
So my insights,
Yes.
intuition.
Yes.
And intuition, it's you don't I don't even know why I'm thinking that or where that's coming from, but I'm getting it. But I've learned enough
To trust it.
to trust it. So if I can create the conditions where my mind is not running the script all the time, whether it's through meditation, contemplation, whatever it is you need to do to open yourself up, listen to me, who cares?
Yes.
To find that space where you quiet the mind. Some people do ma mantras of Om or the Hue, which is a lullaby for the mind, I call it, just kind of settles things down, opens us up. Then you'll find that things start to come to you easier. And there are things that you could never figure out.
Right.
Things
Because you
that are,
got out of your own way.
you get out of your own way,
Yeah.
and they're not in the intellectual mind. They're in the
Exactly.
unconscious mind, and they're also in consciousness itself. And that's the goal. If you can create a space where consciousness can intercommunicate with you and give you bits of wisdom, it's just like you said, when you would give advice to people, you couldn't repeat it and you didn't know where it came.
It was
I've had
just a
that.
channeler.
It's just a chant. In fact, that's part of pretty much the story of how my book came to me. Was it came after a lot of work. I was just accumulating little snippets, and then a week from, oh, the Friday before Christmas of 2018 to January 2nd, I just kind of locked myself up in a room, and the book just came out,
Yes.
and I wrote it, and the way I didn't have to edit it. And the promise I made is that I didn't want to write the book. I wanted to be a channel for what wanted to be
Let the
written.
book write itself. Yeah.
And it sounded really creepy. It sounded weird. It's like, well, if I don't get up and discipline myself and sit down and write, and so much of the spiritual truths are the opposite of the physical plane.
Yeah.
You have to let go, you have to relax, you have to trust the process. And it flowed, and when it went out, no one had ever read it, and I sent it to my publisher, and there was a woman in New York, a publicist, who knew I was doing something, said, I want to see that when you're done. I think it might be something interesting. And I remember when I sent it out to them, I had a mini anxiety attack because I thought, oh my gosh, what if this book is the most self-absorbed, embarrassing thing? I just,
Was
God.
the human ego coming in with
Right.
the
And I sat in that discomfort. Discomfort has become a trigger for me to know that I'm in the ego mind and to relax. And what happened was I had this whole conversation, and it was sort of like, okay, did you do the best job you could?
doubt.
Yes. Were you in service? Yes. Do you love it? Yes. Then there are no ugly babies.
Then you're standing by it.
I'm standing by it, and that's the
I've
part I
just
need.
actually done a music show with Joe Coleman and Joe Blunt, one from the Drifters and one from the Pretenders, I think it was. But they're beautifully old school, and they've started another group with someone also from the Temptations, and the music is still in them and it's still going. And and as I was saying, it's the kind of music rather like blues and jazz and this and that, where it elongates you, where you can feel your whole body open up. And that is a spiritual experience. When we're in fear or in doubt, we close down. No creativity can come to you at that point. Nothing, because everything is shut down. But when you can open back up and feel the stretch of life and let the energy flow right through you, then everything becomes inspirational. Innovation, creativity, the wonderment, the exploration, everything is there. And there is no fear around it because you know you're guided. And it's all now about the discovery. Right? Because you've elongated and allowed that energy to flow through you and become the energy, and you embrace that journey that's in front of you. I'd just written my memoir And I wrote it like that. I am editing it because I can't spell or do grammar because I'm dyslexic. So I'm having to do some corrections. But what was surprising in reading it back was a common theme of my battle between my human self and my spiritual self, because I've always identified as the spiritual being, which no one saw. And I was desperately trying to fit in as the human, which never lived up to anyone's expectation. And it was literally tearing me apart until it was, no, let the spirit guide the human. And those that will see you, those that don't, can't.
And no harm, no foul.
Exactly. We're not
There,
here by one size all either. We're not here to please everyone.
right. And there are people who have higher level of consciousness than what I can see.
Exactly.
It's a one room schoolhouse down here, and they're all different levels of
Yeah.
consciousness, and we're all inhabiting the same planet. And I remember when I had made some significant growth around seeing my ego and looking back on some of the things that I had done that I certainly wasn't proud of, and I became critical of myself. And a teacher I had said told me, said, "It's no fair judging yesterday's consciousness from today's.
Oh, good one. Yeah, good
You
one.
know, respect where you are. Look at that, because it's beneficial to keep you from doing that again. But don't weaponize it. Don't weaponize that action. Congratulate yourself for
Yeah.
doing the hard work to get where you are, and to acknowledge that. Because if you can see where you were off before,
Yeah.
it means you're not there anymore."
Right. And you know that there's a different direction to take. You know, there's two words I do not like when it comes to human beings is compare and comparison and competition. We're not competing with anyone, and if we start comparing ourselves with people, we can be of the same synergy, of the same energy, in the same field. But when you start comparing, I need to be like that person, I need to be like this person, then we're losing our own identity of who we really are. And if we're competing with people all the time, in sports, great, in games, great, compete away, good spirit, do it good spiritedly, but don't do it in your own life, because that means it's an outside life. You're trying to fit into everything on the outside, and it ain't working. That's at the sacrifice of your inside. And we come from the inside out. And I think if we could just take those two things out of our vocabulary and our practice and start looking in, I'm enough. I've been doing this 10 and a half years, and I've had so many people who don't even listen to podcasts tell me how to do it. Right? And it's like, you know what? There are several million podcasts out there, and I'm not for one size fits all. My shows are over an hour long. They're not there for 5 minute attention spans. They're here to get down to deep levels of consciousness and awakening and illumination that's going to take you up to the next level. If you're ready to hear it, you're going to hear it. Right? If you're not, you're not. And this is Sarah. And Sarah's not going to apologize anymore for being Sarah. And when you can get to that stage in life and then understand, this is my instrument and I'm here to play it the way I need to play it, it's a good feeling, isn't it?
It is. Rumi has a beautiful quote that first time I heard it, it was just, it freed me almost immediately, not completely, but and it is, "I am what I am because this one is like that." And I thought, that's the only explanation needed. I am what I am because this one is like that. And then what I added was, just for myself, is, "And I will be that with as much grace as I can muster."
But
Right?
grace, that's another word I absolutely love. As you pointed out, we can look at what's going on in the world, and yes, the more you go into the higher consciousness, the more we look at that, and the more it can be a little shattering. Because it's like, stones being thrown at our consciousness. You're not going to break it, but there's little dents, we can feel the pings. And we look at humanity with what it's doing to itself, and our hearts break, right? It breaks. But all we can be is that inspiration that begets the invitation for others to want to rise up, part of their human journey. is to decide to come out of that chaos, of that pain, of that anguish, and take that journey up to this higher level. And again, in the 10 and a half years of doing this, I have heard some stories that no human being should ever have gone through. Yet they chose to go through it. Instead of saying, you know, why did this happen to me? It is, what did it happen for? What was it for? And they made that discovery of who they are, their courage, their strength, their abilities. And now they are the people that are helping other people on that journey of self-discovery as well. We are so much more than we give ourselves credit for. But we're only that when we unite our consciousness and live from a conscious human self, not the human consciousness.
You know, in the pull on us to de-evolve into that lower consciousness is very, very strong.
Yes.
You know, I used to be involved in politics years back, and I was pretty involved, and I always worked for what I considered reformers.
Mm-hmm.
And I no longer do it because it was a great learning experience, taught me a tremendous amount of things, but it's a warring place, right?
Yeah.
It's a war sport, right? So
it's become a sewage pit now.
Yeah. And I realized that even when I was fighting for what I thought was right, I was still fighting. I was trying to damage the other side, right?
Yes.
And initially my level of consciousness was, I am fighting for what's right. So that's good. And then I started looking, say, wait a minute, I don't want to be fighting.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be being. So why don't I take the energy that I would take to work against the other side and add that to what I'm doing to work for myself? So why don't I just focus on what I want to experience or what I want to have and not even engage that other side?
Instead, empower the people that have been the victims or are victimized. The mm-hmm. more we empower them to rise up, the less the lower vibration can have an effect on them.
And if I take 5 hours of my time to work against someone, that's 5 hours I could be putting towards working for something.
Exactly.
And I've just created a situation where that person is then going to come and fight with me.
Right.
As a payback.
Yeah.
So now I've lost, let's say, 5 hours, and I have to watch my back because at some point. And it's just a really non-productive way to serve consciousness. So, you know, every day, you know, because of what I do, I have to be a bit of a futurist. So I'm looking at what's happening, and I can see a bit of what's coming down the pike, and it's not going to be easy, but it's perfectly designed for people to transcend the level of consciousness that currently is dominant.
I think there's a conscious revolution going on right now.
Yeah. I agree. The other side is really empowered and very big and connected.
And loud.
And loud.
You know, and it's because they know there's a conscious revolution. They know that there's this growth going on, and they know they're not a part of it. And instead of making the effort to be a part of it, you know, you've read Who Moved My Cheese, Spencer Johnson, MD? Right. You know, again, for people who haven't heard of it before, two mice, two men around abundance of cheese. And one day the cheese is gone. And this is the four individual reactions: sniffy and scurry, sniff out and scurry around for more cheese. You know, hem and ha. Well, ha is like, I don't know what I'm going to do, but my God, my stomach's hungry. I need to go look for it. And hem is, give me back my cheese. Who do I have to sue? Well, we've got a lot of hems out there right now. Mm-hmm. And they're not willing to realize the cheese is gone. But that's not the end of everything. It is just take the journey in discovery of more cheese, right? Mm-hmm. And do it with a higher consciousness and do it with wonderment. But instead, they feel they're owed, and we can't help them until they change their perspective. But they are loud and they are righteous. And unfortunately, we can't be around that vibration and do the work of helping others, empowering others to raise that consciousness and feed that one as well. So yes, they're going to make a lot of noise. We don't make a lot of noise by raising people's consciousness, because the beauty of it is that it is harmoniously silent.
And, you know, the internet has had a tremendous impact on human consciousness, because it
good
is.
And bad.
Well, yeah, and it's become a megaphone.
Yeah.
People with a victim mentality, people with an entitlement mentality.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they want what they want when they want it. And the whiners and the complainers, which is a very low level of consciousness. Victim mentality is a very, very low level of consciousness. Yeah. And but what's happening is they also have a tendency to be the loudest. So
yes,
those people have a megaphone, and it's starting to cause so much irritation with people, where people get sucked into arguing with them. And, you know, we can see it right now, where a lot of issues that were brought out needed to be brought out about abuses and discrimination and that type of stuff. But there's a point to where it's no longer identifying something in a positive manner. It's that there are so many people with a low level of consciousness that are just out there constantly pushing an agenda to see what they can do and how can they get it to come back and feed their personal egotistical needs as opposed to a cause. And I think that's very, very different for humanity. Humanity has never experienced conditions where so many people could be heard from.
Yes, at one time.
And we don't know how to process that information. You know, we want to be good people. So when we hear that someone has been offended, or someone's feelings have been hurt, or someone identifies as whatever, you want to be gracious and you want to be respectful.
Supportive, yeah.
But that gets really tricky, because you can end up playing to the lowest common denominator and the voice of wisdom and the voice of the elders being drowned out, because wisdom and elders don't stand up and demand to be heard.
No, because you actually have to reach that level of wanting to hear them. Mm-hmm. They're there to speak to you when you have chosen to listen, mm-hmm. but they're not going to demand you listen. You have to earn that pathway to get there. And, you know, I got criticized a little while ago for when somebody was posting something that they were going through, and my response back is, you know, may this do this and this and this for you, you know, more of an encouragement to getting through with it. Why can't you just let me feel the pain? And it's like, okay, feel the pain, but be careful you don't get stuck in it. Because if you get stuck in it, it's like molasses. It will mm-hmm. consume you. That pain, you know, can very easily go to hate and vengeance, and then violence. And we have to be very careful of what we feed. Yes, you can feel outraged. You know, that I've interviewed people who have lost their children to murder, to suicide, to wrongful death, or people that have been victimized horribly. And those that have chosen no longer to be the victim, and to feed and nurture themselves through it, have reached that higher level and have become those beautiful spiritual leaders and healers of the world. But those that are still living in that victimization never get out of it. And the next thing happens to them, and the next thing happens to them, because, you know, that vibration is constantly attracting it to them. And we have to understand what we feed, what we seed, and how we feed those seeds, how we nurture them, is what's going to grow. Be careful of the seeds that you're planting.
Mm-hmm. Reminds me of a story from Native American culture, where this young boy is just loves his grandfather. His grandfather is the chief, and just admires him. And one day he's walking in the woods and he sees his grandfather sitting on a log, and he's clearly distressed. The grandfather's really just in a mental space where he's just really deep thought. And the little boy goes over and says, "Grandfather, what's wrong?" And the grandfather says, "Well, son, there's a great battle going on in my mind. And the little boy says, with who? Who's fighting? He says, well, there's a good wolf who is loving and caring, and there's a mean, angry, vicious wolf, and they're fighting like crazy. And the little boy says, who's going to win? And the grandfather says, the one I feed.
Yes.
You know,
it's as simple as that.
It's as simple as that.
Yes.
And, you know, when I was going through my cancer experience, I was very aware of that. My attitude was, I win.
Mm-hmm.
I would have these thoughts that would come in. I called them the boo birds, because they'd come in and scare me, right? Ooh, like, and they would just come out of nowhere. I'd be somewhere and I say, this may be the last time I do this with my children. Or I may never walk my daughter down the aisle, or I'll never have grand or out. And they would come in, and I realized that I had to replace them with something.
Yes.
If I made eye contact, that's exactly it. Now eye contact, I'm thinking, I'm engaging them, even if I'm trying to get out of it. It's like a tar baby.
Mm.
You know, you can't get your hands out of it. And what I just did was the minute that would happen, I created a pathway just to go and experience love. And just say, I am loved. I am fine. I am healthy. I win. I'm just going to go through this. And this is here to teach me. And if I'm going to pay this tuition, I'm going to ace the class.
I like that. Yes, exactly.
It's such a magnificent experience. I don't want to repeat it, but
no,
what I
no.
learned.
A lesson learned. I learned it. I got A's.
I wouldn't have learned it in this lifetime without that.
Right. That's something that, you know, again, as I said, some of the horrific stories that I've heard, everybody has said the same thing, despite what happened to them. When they decided it was for them to discover their abilities, their strength and their courage and to become, everyone have said, I would do the same again if it got me to where I am today.
Yeah.
Nobody has regretted that journey at all.
And, you know, I've had an opportunity to speak to a lot of people going through cancer, kind of find one another.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to give them hope, to give them, you know, initially I was diagnosed stage 3, which was such a relief to me because I was just like, oh, okay, stage 3. And then what happened was I went to pick up my records from the doctor's office on my way to Dana-Farber. And I looked, and where it said stage 3, it had been crossed out and handwritten stage 4. And I thought, well, wait a minute, what is this? So I called the doctor, and the doctor said, oh yeah, you're stage 4. The minute it went from your tongue to your lymph nodes, you know, that's stage 4. I said, well, you told me 3. And he said, well, I misspoke. And I said, well, that's a pretty big thing to misspeak about in the business you're in. But in that, I just looked and I said, you know what? My story just got cooler, because now I come back from 4.
Yeah.
So it's more of an example for me, for my kids. And, you know, it's interesting. And in the cancer world, I didn't realize this, but you talk to people who have cancer, and when they find out that you're a stage 4, it's a whole different world.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you came back from stage 4. And it's like, well, no, I didn't come back from stage 4. I had stage 4. I did what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And, I limit how much credit I take, but I do tell them that, you know, we play a very big role in everything that happens. And
yes,
my whole attitude was I win, we get past this, and you have to hold on to that. And whether it's something you're doing personally or professionally, if you're really committed to it, the challenge, the gift of the challenge is to get us to be strong enough to learn how to overcome the challenge by believing more deeply in ourselves.
And exactly. Discovery, self-discovery, just how awesome you are.
Are no failures.
Nope.
There's just no failures. There's lessons. If you've learned from something, you didn't fail. You may not have had the result that you had hoped
right.
for.
But if you got a lesson from it, you succeeded. I think failure for me is the people that just give in and give up. Mm-hmm. But for the people that, no, that's the wrong way. It's a redirect. It's just a redirect. You learned what you needed to learn down this cul-de-sac. Now turn around and go down something else. It wasn't a waste of time.
No,
you know, everything has a lesson, even if we don't see it at the time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how good a student are we in our lives? And, I think a great deal of it is surrender to the teacher. And we will be taught what we need in that moment. We don't need to have, the whole encyclopedia there. It's not about, I'm going to write an exam tomorrow. It is all I need to know is what I need to know in the now, the knowingness. And if you live with that knowingness always inside of you, and being open, all of your chakras, everything open and ready to receive. And if people could take this, not only in Maastricht in their own lives, it means that in their business life, they're going to make the right decisions in their business. Even if it was a wrong decision at that moment, it doesn't mean it's catastrophic. I say, okay, right, that didn't work. Let's try going this road. It always means that you're going to be feeding the clarity and not the doubt. It always means that you're going to be invitational to your clients, right? And they're going to feel that they want to be around you. They want to do business with you because they feel seen and they feel heard. That's the kind of service you're offering. And that makes people want to be loyal to you because you pay attention to them. But they want to know you're authentic. And if you are coming from this place of peaceful clarity, I am what I am, as Popeye says. This is my truth. And if you resonate with my truth, I'm here to serve you. Let's build a relationship in business that we know can serve each other.
And when you show up authentically, you vibrate at a certain frequency that invites other people's authenticity.
Yeah.
And they can see that you aren't showing up armed. So they don't need to be armed either.
Right.
They choose to join you in that frequency or not. And, one of the things that as I was learning along the way, I engage consciousness. I ask it. I ask it, what class am I in? I'll be sitting somewhere and it's like, okay, what am I supposed to learn? What are you teaching me? This thing isn't going the way I thought it did. So what is in here for me that's better than what I thought I wanted? I also ask, help me understand. Help me. I'm inviting consciousness. I'm trying to engage it. And that's might be my mental mind, but it's my mental mind making itself open and subservient to the higher mind.
Right. I'm open and willing to receive.
What class am I in? And now all of a sudden I begin to get curious. I can use my mind to serve my exploration.
Well, it's kind of tuning different channels, isn't it? Or wearing different hats. The authenticity of who you are in business will conduct how you do business. And you may have different hats on for different situations, but underneath that hat, the authenticity of who you are as a human being, in the grace of who you are, the honesty and the truth of who you are, right? That it's just a different hat or a different channel in what you're doing, but you must always be that person that people know they can rely on.
And if you fall out of that, get back on the bike.
Yes.
I talk
keep
about
feeding it.
Yeah. And, some of this stuff can really be hard to grasp. How do I know if I'm headed in the right direction or not? Or, when do I know it's my mind or when is it me and that type
feel
of
it,
stuff?
Feel it, feel it, feel it, feel it, feel it, to think it, don't think it, to feel it.
Yeah. I talk about leading and living with AIR, and AIR is an acronym for authenticity, integrity, and respect.
Yes.
So if I'm acting, if I'm being in my authenticity, and I'm acting in the world with integrity and of good character, and I'm respecting myself and the other person I'm engaged in, I'm not going to mess up too much.
Yeah.
I'm going to know. So a lot of times I'll be somewhere and it's like, okay, what's the best way for me to function here? And I'll just run that, am I lead with air? Am I being authentic? Am I having integrity? Integrity is one that'll keep you in line.
Oh,
you'll know when we're
it
out.
It knows
of
when you're not, right? Yeah, you try looking at yourself in the mirror when you're not being integral.
That's it. You can fool everybody but yourself.
Can't pull the wool over your own eyes. Yep, definitely. Let's talk about your book, The Conscious Leadership Mindset. Because whether you are in business or whether you are just working in a company or whether simply, you're a mum or dad at home managing the household business. It's we're all in some form of business, right? Whether we have a business or not, we're all in some form of business. When we have that conscious mindset, it just helps us identify what needs to be fed in that moment for it to grow.
Well, I believe that everyone is a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a leader somewhere. You're a leader in your family. You're a leader in your community. Maybe you coach little kids. Maybe you're a Girl Scout leader, whatever. Maybe you're a leader in business or what have you. But the way this book came to me was I had been trying to write a book about a leadership system I put together literally for 10 years, and it just wasn't coming out. I probably wrote four books that I can't use.
Because you wrote it from the head, right? Not from the
yeah,
spirit.
Mm-hmm. That's what would happen. I would sit down and all of a sudden the professor would take over.
Yes.
And just it wouldn't leave me alone.
Right.
And October of 2018, I woke up one morning and I said, you know, dang it, I'm gonna write a book and I'm gonna have it written by January 1st. That was the thought that hit me. And the next thought was, well, it better be simple because I've been trying to write a book for 10 years and I can't. Now I have this thing where 3 months I'm going to write one. And I thought, okay, how can I make this a simple book, but has impact? So what I started doing was I had my web development people used to call them Jeffisms. And they would tell me every now and then, we need a Jeffism. And I would say, what the heck is a Jeffism? And they said, well, you have a certain way of phrasing things that makes sense in a unique way. I said, okay. So when I thought about the book, I thought, well, I'll do a book of Jeffisms maybe. So anyway, short, sweet. And from that day until, the Friday before Christmas of that year, I would just, these little snippets would drop. Mm-hmm. I'd be in the woods or I'd be doing something. I'd get it. And I would just send them to myself in an email that said book.
Right.
And I eventually ended up sitting down on that Friday and I printed them all out. And I had 17 pages of them.
Wow.
And I thought, what am I going to do with these things? So what I ended up doing was going through and finding the ones. Some of them were already a complete, powerful, conscious thought. And some of them needed some teased out. And some of them were thrown out. So what I did was I wrote a book that every page is a chapter.
Mm-hmm.
It's a standalone statement.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are about the, doing the inner work. Some of them are about engaging people as a leader in an empathetic and a communication collaboration way. So it's self-work. It's also talking about how to design an organization that's not command and control and hierarchical.
Right.
And how to, you know, where every organization is nothing more than a tribe of tribes.
It's the orchestra. You need all the instrumentalists there, right?
You need it in there. And
yeah.
Instead of thinking of organizations as silos and people, you know, under other people, if we think about them as tribes and you think about leaders as tribal elders, all of a sudden you start shifting and you come up with a more spiritual, a higher level of consciousness of engaging the people with you. You're not getting people to just do a job. They're not cogs in a machine.
Yeah,
they're
you're being
human.
Invitational, right?
Right, invitational.
And discovering the leaders within them.
Right, and the thing about tribal elders is that it's all about the tribe with them. It's not about them.
Mm-hmm.
Always looking to develop talent. They're always looking to promote people's levels of self-awareness so they can see their greatness. And because if you have people functioning within their true level of capacity and capability, your organization is going to skyrocket.
Yes.
Because morale is going to go up.
Yes.
Their performance is going to go up. And if their performance and morale goes up, profits go up.
Exactly.
It's
but,
just
but not
that-
only that, the reputation of the company. It's demanding respect, not because you're demanding it. It's because it's earning it,
mm-hmm.
right? Everything about that company, people want to do business with because they respect the way they do business.
And they want, and people want to work for that company.
Yes.
So you become a talent magnet. So you make more money under with less stress.
Mm-hmm.
And as a leader, you're working less. because you're not going around managing these people that aren't engaged and trying to wrestle with them. And you go from trying to push people to get work done to managing the energy they're giving.
Yeah.
Versus the flow.
The flow, the rhythm. Again, going back to the yoga, you're creating the rhythm there, right? And what happens in that rhythm and in that flow, creative ideas come up. And mm-hmm. if that platform is, I don't care if you're the janitor, if you've got a great idea, come and share it. Come and share it with us. You're giving people that permission and that invitation that your voice matters. Mm-hmm. It's not all about the ego and the ivory tower of the CEO. It's about the collective. Everybody right. in that orchestra with their beautiful instrument, whether it's just the triangle or the soloist, right? Everybody having permission to partake and mm-hmm. create along with you. And when you've got that kind of atmosphere, all you have is people encouraging each other, celebrating each other. And that resonates out like a vibration out to the rest of the world.
And then when they have their conflicts and their clashes, which they will.
Yeah.
You're so much more resilient.
Yes.
Because you've been making deposits in this emotional bank account. You've created a culture that is healthy and likes being healthy. So when a conflict comes up, people have a tendency to deal with it quicker because they're safer.
Yeah.
And they want to keep it the way it was. So they become intrinsically motivated to keep the culture healthy.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's all the work that I do is to go in and help people to understand how to make that transformation. It takes a different, it takes a clear mindset that you want to do that. You want to shift from the old way. It takes a new model of how you view and engage the organization. And then it takes new leadership methods
yes.
that actually you can use day to day in the trenches. So I do a leadership training program. It's called the M3 process for leadership and organizational transformation. And the three M's are, you need a new mindset, you need new models, and you need new methods.
Mm-hmm.
In order to transform, you know, you've probably gone through some version of a spiritual transformation where the first thing you had to do is a new mindset. You know, one of yours was, I'm going to stop not being who I am. My mm-hmm. mindset is I'm going to accept and embrace mm-hmm. who I am.
Yes.
Once you change that mindset.
Yeah.
Then
perception, right? That perception of who from the outside. Well, that mindset is stop living from the perception of the outside. Change your mindset to open up what's from the inside.
And then you created a model that's like, this is how I want my life to be. You can see that model. And then you did specific methods.
Yeah.
Get you there. So,
and you know, the more you integrate into it, the more you follow these practices, the easier it becomes. And it's like a beautiful deep breath and a wonderful exhale, because you know that you're in a rhythm. You know you're in a flow where mm-hmm. everybody does have your back, where everybody is supportive of each other, where that creativity can grow. There's a synergy. And the more people understand about that, you know, that synergy between people, of that shared energy, and allowing that energy sometimes just to be calm and other times to excel, be a crescendo. From a crescendo, you've always got to bring it down back to being calm, otherwise it becomes hysterical. Once mm-hmm. people know they can ride that beautiful wave, they're going to take this out into their everyday life and resonate it out with their families, with their friends, and we start seeing a domino effect of this growing exponentially everywhere.
And in my experience, I've had to be careful not to expect people to join me at my level of consciousness.
Right. They've got to work their way up there.
Yep. So I'm committed but detached. I'm committed to having the level of consciousness and being at vibration as much as I can. I have good days and bad days like everybody else. But initially, I'd walk around and say, well, why can't more people be like this? And then next thing I know, I'm being critical of them. Next thing, that brings me to a lower level of consciousness. There's so many trapdoors that drop us down into that lower level of human consciousness. There's aspects of human consciousness that's absolutely beautiful, but we just got to be careful of those other ones. And what I found was, look, it's my job to maintain my level of consciousness and wish everyone else well on their journey. and have my boundaries. And if, you know, there's a lot of people that won't join me, but that's because they didn't come here to do that at this point in their life.
But maybe you've seeded.
Maybe.
That's all
you can do. You know, the great spiritual teachers didn't force anybody.
No, you have to be ready. It's free will.
Yep. They're way showers.
Yeah.
They show you the way. They give you some tools. It's up to you. They respect you enough to let you do the work if you want.
Yes. And you've got to be the decider of that. That's part of the journey of life. You know, I say that you can take a horse to water and you can't make it drink. However, leave it there long enough and it's going to realize it's thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
When people are amongst that atmosphere and they're seeing people living in that grace of joy and support and love for one another, it's like, hey, I've got to try some of this water, right? Mm-hmm. The moment you try and force, and that's where religion goes wrong, it forces, mm-hmm. right? The moment you try and force anybody to do something, there is a natural resistance. But when you inspire them, it becomes the invitation for them to want to. And that's the thing, be inspirational. And that means be authentic in who you are and why you have taken this journey to become this higher consciousness yourself. And then slowly and slowly, it chisels away at their defenses. And slowly, that heart opens up. When that heart opens up, then the spirit and the soul can speak through it. But it's just set the table. If they refuse to eat, that's up to them. But set the table. And when they hear all the laughter and the joy around the table, it's like, well, I've either got to be a part of this or leave.
I had a teacher of mine, and when we're talking about exact same thing, you know, you can stay where you're at in that turmoil and conflict and opinion and victim and et cetera, or you can have more peace.
Yeah.
And he used to say, so it's a choice between a sharp stick in the eye or no sharp stick in the eye. Seems kind of obvious, but you're free to choose.
You're free to choose. Do you want to continue to live in the pain and the anguish? Do you want to keep living in the doubt and the insecurity? Do you want to keep living in no man's land because you don't know where you belong? Or are you willing to stand up for your own life, your own being, and willing to walk blind, deaf, and dumb in order to see, hear, and feel, and explore what life is before you? Your first leap is the first step.
I talk about in my book, the first, you just reminded me, the first step on the path of leadership is an inward one. And so are all the rest.
Yes.
If I can't manage myself, if I can't lead myself, I do not deserve the right to try to manage and lead others.
Right.
After, you know, and this goes to anyone who, I think if you attempt to be a spiritual teacher, you're already not.
Mm-hmm.
The example, look, this is where I am. If you want to ask me some things, I'll tell you. I'll tell you what works for me. But if I really look to be, if the way I can, the best way for me to be an inspiration is not to think about whether or not I'm an inspiration.
Right, exactly. Just be a representation of it. Right. Right? Yeah.
That's my ego sticking his head up and saying, hey, how good looking am I right now? Hey, I'm inspiring. It's like, no, just settle back down. Just keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, when you open yourself to love, when you send love out into the world, you benefit from it first because it comes through you first before it can go out.
Yeah. And, you know, I get people saying, you know, how many listeners to your show? I'm only going to come on if there's 5,000. And I said, then please don't come on because I have no control of who's going to listen. We're on many platforms, but these shows are going to find themselves in the ears of the people that are ready to hear it. And I have no power over that. And if you want to make a difference in one person's life, then you will do the show. But if it's about numbers, then it's ego. Mm-hmm. And your ego is not welcome here.
You know, and it's about, I want to put healthy drops in the right bucket.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I will toil in the fields of healthy consciousness And if it's supposed to be something that's big, that's above my pay grade. You know,
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm in service
But just
of.
the
I
door
pull up.
openers. We're showing you how to get to the next level.
Yeah,
Right?
you know, whatever I'm doing here will be revealed in time, and I'm not worried about it. I just am I contributing in the area of life that I want to contribute in, and that's other than that, I'm. You know, I mean, because I look at the stuff that I'm doing and I'm saying, wow, this could, if it got to the right people, could be really big because it's a very transformative process. It takes you, like I said, mindset, model, method. It blends consciousness with the demands of the business world. They do fit if you do them right.
There's a good synergy. Yeah.
And it's really needed and required. And in the beginning, I was feeling disheartened because I thought, well, I'm doing this really good work, but it's really not getting out there that much. And once again, I used that discomfort to teach, to say, then why are you truly doing it? Are you doing it to contribute, or are you doing it to contribute but also get?
Yeah.
So, and is if the get is defining how you feel, whether or not you're spending your time in a worthy cause, you might want to rethink your thinking.
Yeah,
It
exactly.
may
I
not be.
100% agree with you there. You know, it's I am compelled to do this. 10 and a half years ago, it was a discovery, and then I had no idea. In fact, I was asked to join a different podcast network, and I didn't even know what a podcast was. And it was 13 months live, great training ground. And then I started my own network. And even starting my own network, I still didn't know what I was doing. I learned as I went. And, you know, as you learn, you perfect. And I have an old-fashioned platform. You know, it's like I'm not the latest look, but, you know, what you're going to get is good, solid information because this is what my journey is about, giving you that wonderful information. What you do with it is your free will, what you take away from it. This is why I say to people, have, you know, they have book clubs. I say have podcast clubs. Everybody listen to the same podcast, and then each one of you share what you got out of it. And you'll find everybody would have got, I got this, I got that. Now put it together. Ooh, look at the whole of it, right? Share the experience because through that shared experience, it opens up other perceptions and gives you a bigger picture from, you know, the one singular picture. And I think this is, don't be afraid to share your fears. Don't be afraid to share your desires. Don't be afraid to share your dreams. And please don't be afraid to dream, because that is the canvas that the universe uses to give you the tools and the skills to succeed to.
You know, I'm reminded of another story about, you know, you talk about whether you're speaking to one or a million in one, right? And it's a story of the old man's on the beach, and something happened on the beach and washed up hundreds and hundreds of starfish. And this really old man out there, he can barely walk, but he's going out there, and he painfully stooped down, pick up a starfish, throw it back in the ocean. Take a couple steps, painfully step down, throw it back in the ocean. This young guy comes up and he says, "Hey, old man, what are you doing?" And he says, "I'm saving these starfish." And the guy looks up and down the beach, and he says, "Buddy, there's thousands of them here. You know what you're doing is not going to make a difference." And the old man bent down, picked up, and threw it in the ocean. He said, "It made a difference to that one."
Exactly. That's
And
what it is.
that's
That's
all
what
it
you
is.
need. That's all you need. If you can shift one person's perception to lift up their consciousness into being their being human, not the human humanoid, as I call it, you know, getting out of ego, getting out of doubt, getting out of insecurity, stepping into self-love, stepping into openness and willingness to learn, to love, allowing and surrendering to the spirit to guide you, you would realize your control is in letting go of your control. Right? It's how we use the skills that we're given is up to us, but how they're given to us is when we surrender.
And that one person that you help
Yes.
has to start with you.
Yes. Oh, you
You
can't
know,
help anyone else until you help yourself. Because you are the representation of the success of that help. Yeah.
many years ago, I went to a spiritual retreat in the mountains of Virginia. And I ended up going there for 12 years. I'd go four times a year for 3, 4 days, 8, 9 days, just really deep, deep work in this. And on the second time I went down there, because there was a graduated kind of, not training, but different steps. The teacher there had us all go out in the woods for half a day with index card and a pen. And when we came back, our homework assignment was write what we wanted to do in our lives. So we come back, and there was, I think, about 12 of us. We give him the cards, and he collects them, and he's sitting there, and he doesn't look at any of them. He just rips them up and throws them off to the side. And we were shocked, angered, devastated, you name it, we were it. We're like, you know, we just spent 4 hours getting to as high as we could, and you know, we're all fledglings on the path, right? But this is really heartfelt. You didn't even look at it, you threw it, like, what? So he had us all really upset. And he said, first of all, let me tell you that that was not meant to disrespect you. It was meant to get your attention. Said, here's my recommendation. I know that in my heart of hearts, everything all of you wrote on those cards were your deepest desires. However, why don't you work on yourself? Because they all had the same theme. You want to go out and improve the world and do this type of stuff. And he said, why don't you work on yourself to get yourself straight before you go out and you try working on other people? Because we don't need more people screwed up. And right now, all you guys are screwed up.
Well, you know, the old oxygenate yourself first, right? You can't help anyone, you know, if you're in need. You can't give anyone your energy if you haven't got an ounce left in there. How can you give somebody your love if you don't have love of self? You know, we don't want to give our dysfunction away. We want to give our wholeness of our truth and our authenticity and our love. And I don't use the word perfection. We have perfect moments in life, but nobody is perfect. But we can choose a path that is just perfectly wonderful for us as long as we maintain that path, right? And so it's not about being the best of everything. It's not about I'm better than anyone else or being the top of the, you know, the top of the league. It's about being the best of who you are and knowing that there's still so much for you to learn today and tomorrow, and that every one of those lessons is just making you a more whole person to be of service to others along the way.
Yeah, and just be.
Yeah.
Just be. You know, and I
the
don't
bee
know.
Knows what to do. Yeah. Don't just do, because you don't always know what you're doing. But if you just be, the bee knows what to do.
It just lands and it does its thing, and and doing its thing. It's not purposefully pollinating.
Right.
It's just doing its thing. And consciousness is making sure that the rest of it works.
Yes.
Making sure the pollination happens. Make sure that the bee is designed to do exactly its role in consciousness. And that's what we are. We are beings.
Yes.
And we're just here.
Having a human experience.
and just do the best you can. And there's no failure. It'll all work out. Learn along the way. Be gracious with yourself. Forgive yourself first. Then you can learn to forgive others. And take it easy on yourself. You know, when I was in the final treatments of the cancer experience, week seven, a 7 week treatment, chemo, radiation. And by the seventh week, you're pretty well done. You know, it's 5 days a week going up, radiation.
And you're drained. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's down 35 pounds and tired and beat up.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. And I woke up one night about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I never liked doing that because the pain would kick in. I was laying there, and several times through that experience, I had a conversation with whatever, consciousness, whatever. And this was one of those. And basically what it came to me was, if I were to relay the conversation, it would kind of come out like, hey, you know how you're feeling right now? Like you're going to die. Like, yeah, feel like I'm going to, but you know, you're not, you know, your prognosis is good. You know, you're going to come out of this by now. And,
I just all shook up.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you're in pain, you feel creaky. I lost 40% of my hearing and all this stuff. I had chemo brain, so I was losing the ability to think properly. And said, you know how you feel like you're dying yet, but you're not, you're going to make it out of this. Like, yep, you'll come back to full health. Yep. He said, but at some point you'll be back here and you won't be coming back. You might be 90, mm-hmm. might be 95, whatever, but you're going to be on the last couple. I'm like, okay, I'm trying to figure out what's going on with this conversation. And in that, it said, what if in that moment when you knew that you weren't coming back, you realized that you never loved yourself the way that you should?
Mm-hmm.
What if you always saw what you did and criticized that instead of saw your heart or who you were? How would you feel? And I thought, oh my gosh, I would die with regrets and I'd have no room to fix it.
Right, exactly. Feel like a waste of life. Right?
Waste of life. Yeah. And that thought scared me so bad that I just said, you know, I am going to, I've always been pretty self-critical. I think a lot of us are.
Yes. And our generation most certainly we were brought up to be that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought, you know, I'm not going to make that mistake. I know in my heart of hearts, I'm a good guy. I've done a lot of things that I wish I didn't do. And so is everybody else who walks around. But at the end of the day, I looked and I said, I'm not going to beat myself up anymore. I'm going to hold myself accountable, but I'm going to love myself and have compassion myself through this process. I'm just going to do the best I can.
And that's all you can do. And that's all we're asking of anyone else to do. Whether you're just in the business of surviving through something, mm-hmm. whether you actually are wanting to start a business or you're, you know, working for someone, it's all about you being true to you. It's all about you coming from a place of self-love. Well, I don't care what your abilities are. I don't care what your business acumen is. You know, how much of a genius you are in business. If it doesn't come from the heart and the soul is not ignited, guiding you, and the spirit isn't in flight, then that mind is always going to play tricks on you. And you will not succeed, however bright and brilliant or whatever the product is. It's come from that space of self-love and the love of who you are, why you are, and what you're here to do.
I think it was Jordan Peterson who said, the most dangerous people in the world are those who are highly intelligent but lack wisdom.
Yes. Yes, because the intelligence is knowledge we've accumulated that the brain has deduced in a certain way. If we don't have the wisdom to know what we need to know in the now, all that is knowledge. The wisdom is how to use the knowledge that is related to the situation in the moment.
And wisdom acknowledges oneness. It acknowledges love. It acknowledges nurturing.
Yes.
It acknowledges all that favorable spiritual consciousness that we need to keep us from falling prey to the primitive physical nature that, you know, we are these physical animals that live here that need to survive. And we have some real challenges that we have to use our minds to be able to survive here. But again, like we had said earlier on, the mind is a great servant, but a horrible master.
I can't get stuck in the mind because it will always be what if, what if, what if. When we come from the heart and soul, the clarity is there to know, again, what we need to know when we need to know it. It's a journey, and it's a journey worth taking. It's a journey worth trusting. It's a journey that's what you're here to do on this planet. This is your lifetime, and we have many, but you're going to keep repeating that same lifetime until you can exit with self-love and say, I gave my all with love and compassion, and it's okay for me to go. Right? Mm-hmm. And that's where we want to, when we go out, we want to know that we have shared our love in any which way, and that love has become the fuel and the generator for others and everything that they do.
Yeah. What example are we leaving?
Exactly. Exactly. So, my dear, how did they get hold of the book? How did they get hold of you? And what kind of programs, I mean, what kind of companies do you work with?
I work with small to medium sized companies. I really don't do much in corporate. I like that culture.
More intimate.
Yeah. And I do a lot of coaching. You know, my coaching is starts out business coaching, but really becomes life coaching, and spirituality, consciousness, etc. And the way they can reach me is my website is just my name. It's jeffreydeckman.com. And
and Jeffrey, can you spell your Jeffrey? Because I know it's spelled differently for people who are just listening.
It's J-E-F-F-R-E-Y. And it's a Deckman, D as in David, Deckman, D-E-C-K-M-A-N. And you can just go on Amazon, put in my name under books, and it'll pop up. I'm out there. So the book is an awesome book. It's designed to be read over several weeks. Mm-hmm. And it's designed to take one morsel at a time and just gently sit with it, because spirituality is more of an evolutionary thing. It's not, okay, let me learn it and I got it. And it's not math.
No.
So I wrote the book.
It's something you have to absorb, right? And each person is going to absorb it at their own level.
Yeah, and it's a workbook. And what I suggested, read a page and take a couple of days to think about it, and just don't stress yourself out with it. Just enjoy the process. I do training classes. And if anybody wants to reach out to me, just jeffrey@jeffreydeckman.com. I respond to all my emails. And, you know, my goal is to help integrate consciousness into business to create more conscious capitalism, so that leaders create an environment where more people show up in that place. And instead of it being the most stressful spot in their life, maybe it's the least stressful. And if we can do that, we're serving humanity well.
A lot of people think that being spiritual means that you can't make money. And I say it is the clear consciousness of making that money. You can make a shitload of money. It's what you do with it that counts. Do you seed opportunities for other people along the way? And are you doing it with a clear conscience that you have invested in the people, the resources of the planet, that you are doing it for the greater good, and that whatever money you make back, that you know that you're going to see those opportunities for other people? That is clear consciousness, money. Money is not the evil. It is how we use it and what vein that we use it that can make it bad. So let's look at making a whole load of money with a clear conscience so that we can pay it forward.
And money is nothing more than a form of energy.
Yeah, exactly. Just a transaction.
It's just a transaction. You know, I go in and I give my energy to a company and my time and my knowledge and whatever else I can give them. They return that energy to me in the form of money.
Exactly.
And that's all it is. And the greater value you get, the universe wants you to be in abundance. The universe is all about abundance. It's the physical mind that looks at scarcity.
Yes.
And judges, is this too much? Is this too little? Or what? It's the mind is constantly judging, and the universe doesn't. It just is. Mm-hmm. So, you know, go in the flow and follow your heart, follow your intuition, and it'll guide you in the proper place. It has so far. Everybody listening to this is still alive, so it's done a good job.
Yeah, exactly. You're still with us. And you know, the business, all business, from today on, and has been for a while, those businesses that do step into this higher consciousness, this true respect and authenticity, will be the businesses of tomorrow that will thrive. The businesses that are still making profit over people and planet, they will wither away, because that energy cannot sustain them. The energy, when you're doing it with the right integrity, with the right intent, will be the ones that will be abundant. And if you want to really succeed in your business, first know why. Why are you wanting to do it? Whom are you wanting to serve? And who do you need to be of that service? And that's got nothing to do with your skills. That's a totally different topic. It's got to do with you as a human being. Where is your heart, soul, and spirit in it? Because without that, there isn't going to be any form of success.
And you have to make some really courageous changes.
Yes.
Each time I left, you know, I left a 30-year career and a reputation in an industry. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I just knew what I couldn't do anymore. Mm-hmm. And what I couldn't do was I couldn't not follow my passion. And I risked everything, and I almost didn't make it. I mean, I had one business that did go under back in 87, and the other one I built almost went under a couple times. But you just got to stay in and, burn the ships on the shore. Get in, lock yourself in, don't have a plan B. I mean, don't be crazy ridiculous about it, but lock yourself in, because it's that journey, entrepreneurialism. And when you take risks, they're the biggest spiritual growth opportunities you have, and they
And
scare.
it is about that adaptability, isn't it? Again, forget about the linear, right? Learn to do the cha-cha-cha, right? Because it's going to take you on that rhythm, and sometimes that rhythm, may get a little step back for 2 steps forward, and just go with the flow, go with the rhythm. It will show you the dance.
Yeah. And it's in your, it's trying to help you.
Yes, definitely.
The
Thank you
universe
so
is.
much for sharing here, Jeffrey, today. It's been wonderful having you. And thank you for taking this journey, because I always find it a personal delight when I find people like yourself that understand that good business is in the authenticity of you as a person. You are the business. And if people can't buy you, why should they buy from you? And the more and more that we understand this, that often it's not about how rich you are, how many people who are following you, how important you are. It's the impact that you have that really is coming from the heart and the soul of igniting other heart and souls, and helping them become the best they can be, and bring that same spirit into their own line of work. So,
And help them to realize that they're not alone.
exactly. And
A
that's
lot
the whole
of
thing. When you
acceptance.
step into this beautiful spiritual realm, you recognize another energy, and you can call on that energy anytime, anywhere, from anywhere. It isn't that you have to be in the same room. Energy knows no boundaries, none. So when you can ride into that energy and a good thought about someone, that is the connection. And it's a beautiful connection to be in.
Yeah, because the other side, it's no fun.
No.
That's why we're doing this, because this is better.
Oh
So.
God, it's just so much. Like a really deep breath and a wonderful exhale. Who needs all that angst? It just drains you. I'm tired of being drained. I don't want to be drained anymore. I want to live in this beautiful essence of exuberance that has its own beautiful highs and lows, which is just the rhythm of life. But the lows are never, dark, right? That even if you have the shadows, it's only for you to see the clarity.
It's just another class.
Just another class, yes. Thank you so much, Jeffrey. And to everyone out there, whatever business you're in, understand the business first and of absolutely utmost is you. Who are you? Why are you? Why are you wanting to do what you're doing? Do you care for yourself? Are you nurturing yourself? Do you love yourself? Do you love what you want to do? And when you can answer all those questions, then you know that you're ready to move forward, but you've got to be open. Let Jeffrey help you, because without that consciousness in your business, I promise you, you will not succeed, because it's inevitable that you can't succeed without that higher consciousness with you. So until next time, folks, bye for now. We hope that you enjoyed the show. Find all of our shows on selfdiscoverymedia.com under podcasts or selfdiscoverymedia/shows. And for all our current shows, go to What's New. We are supported by you, the audience. You'll see a nice big shiny blue button for one-time donations, or follow us on Patreon and you will be able to support us there. We enjoy bringing you such wisdom. And the next show will be up in just a moment.